BurgstudentInnen treffen auf spannende Persönlichkeiten im Rahmen der Bauhaus Study Rooms Dessau.
Burg Students Podcast Edition.
Bauhaus Study Rooms.
Today with Bauhaus Study Rooms.
Hello, I'm Vaira Aguilar and I'm studying industrial design at Burg-Giebichenstein University of Art and Design. And today I'm here with Aida Herrera Peña. We want to talk a little bit about Aida's work and her performance she did together with Vivian Tauchmann at the Bauhaus Study Rooms. But first of all, hello Aida, how are you?
Hello Vaira. I'm good. Thank you so much for this invitation. It's quite special, so yeah, I'm very happy to be here with all of you.
Yeah, thank you as well. So maybe you can start off with introducing yourself a little bit to the listeners. Who are you and where did you study? What are you working on?
Yeah, of course. I was born in Bogota, Colombia, and I was trained as an industrial designer. Then parallel to it, I studied audiovisual and multimedia production as well. And I have complemented both careers with studies in the field of dance. Since more than 1 year ago, I came to Germany to study my master's degree in design research at the Bauhaus Dessau Foundation and Anhalt University in collaboration with the Humboldt Universität Berlin. So during the master's, I developed like my what I will say that it's the main work that I have so far, which is on performativity and design. That was the title of my master thesis. And what I researched there, it was more to exploring how performative strategies can be applied within design practices and how the body language can be taken as a main source of knowledge production. And this was very much influenced as well by Southern epistemologists. And yeah, and right now I'm very much looking forward to apply and to put in practical means what I research.
That sounds really interesting. And for applying it into practical measures, maybe we can just talk a little bit about the performance you did today. Today is Saturday, the 5th of December, and we all participated in the Bauhaus Study Rooms. You did a performance together with Vivian Tauchmann. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit what you did there? And then maybe I can also tell a little bit about my experience I had during your performance.
Yeah, of course. Today was such a nice experience, I think, with Vivian, because when I start to explore these performative strategies during my master thesis, one of my thesis supervisors, Lilo Fiebig, she presented to me and introduced to me Vivian projects, actually. And I really had like a click when I met her practice, because I engage a lot with what she does, because she actually make use of the human body exactly as the main tool of the design practice. And because of my previous studies and my personal interest in dance, and as well while I was studying audiovisual and multimedia production parallel to design, this was like a kind of particular mix of careers and knowledge that I wanted to put everything together just in one piece. And with her practice, I found a way to address new perspective, new ways of knowing and doing within design. So actually, Vivian Tauchmann practice was the case study that I chose for developing my master thesis. And it was, such a great experience, and I'm very honored to have worked with her and meet her. So after I finished the thesis, actually one of the outcomes of it was to have this opportunity with Vivian to collaborate together and participate to the in the study rooms. So actually what happened today was, sort to say, to bring both parts just in one place. And what I mean with both parts is that Vivian has developed the practical way to put these performative strategies within design. And what I did was research upon the design epistemologies and how this practice can be translated into a methodological framework for designers. So, of course, it includes several more aspects and concerns about it. But in general, was how to develop this methodological framework of performativity for designers. So today, what we did was bring together both perspectives, the practical part and the theoretical part. So I think that this was very interesting to see because it complements, I believe, very well. And I hope that it brings, it encourages designers and the ones who are interested in exploring more to start to apply as well these another perspectives and to connect with our bodies and to connect with our emotions, with our feelings, and I don't know, maybe as well to get into know more about the Southern epistemologies, which I believe that are very much focused on these perspectives, which brings the body and the mind together and not as a divided in order to produce knowledge.
So did you elaborate your performances together, or was it two separate parts that you put together at this day today? So because there was this part of Vivian where she asked us to do really repetitive motions or like exercises with our hands, and your part in the performance was that we all got a PDF document via a QR code that we should just read and scroll through, which also kind of repeated itself in the text. And it was like, I was in the first group, so I started with reading the PDF document and I didn't even see on the screen that the other people were doing this movements. And at first it was really hard, or like not really hard for me, but it was kind of, I noticed that this document has over 200 pages and I was like, oh no, how am I going to read all of that? And then it was also the layout of the PDF was really different on each page, and there were like big words through the whole page and then like little tiny sentences somewhere in the left corner. So it was kind of like you had to get used to it, and then you scrolled through it and you read it again and again and again. And after some time it got, it really made more sense. And then after we switched the groups and I did the movement with Vivian and the other one read, then it really, I don't know, I really got that connection quite well. Like, I asked myself if I would have done it the other way around, if it would have been the same, or how did you work on this, you on the theoretical part and Vivian on the practical part, and then you just put it together, or was it like a mixture of both of you?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I would like to say that while I was doing the master thesis, the process with Vivian was always like in a collaborative basis. Like we always have worked during that time. And for that process, we worked a lot together and we collaborate together. So this means that we create together, and that at least it was like that since the very beginning. During my field work with her, we actually had a few online sessions, but we as well started to write an online document together in order to exchange our thoughts. So, for example, that document is, of course, it's just a document that we have, but it is the mix of both, you know, of our thoughts and our backgrounds and so on. So I think that departing from that point, when we received the invitation to the study rooms and when we were invited to do it together, actually, as well, then we start to work together on it. So from one part, from on one hand, of course, Vivian already have her practice established, and what I was focused was in the project that she has that is self as another trainings. And this was part of what we experienced today. However, we work together in order to see how can we mix both perspectives. So the online document as well, of course, was more like an idea that I had, like, in order to develop an analogy of what the trainings are saying right now and the one that we experienced today. And the idea was to give their participants the option to experience the body movements through the text as well. So that this is why you have these little words and the bigger ones, and then it's like an interactive text. So yeah, to respond to your question, to answer your questions, yes, of course, we work together on this several times with each aspect of that, like to do all the logistics of the experience that we want participants to have, to arrange everything. So it's more like a collaborative basis what we did today. Yeah,
it worked really well. I already knew some of Vivian's work from the Hurra Hurra Festival we had here in our university, and she also did a workshop or a performance there. So I kind of knew what her practices are a little bit, but I think together with the document and the research behind it, it just worked quite well together. I really enjoyed this extra level of information you got with it. And there was one sentence which I'm going to read right now, and maybe you can explain a little bit more about it, because it really spoke to me. Through the repetition of experiences, knowledge remains longer. However, such repetitions will bring each time more and different insights to bodies. So I really experience the through repetition, experiences and knowledge remains longer, because of always reading this text again and again, it really stuck in my head. So I get this part quite good. But what do you mean with like such repetitions will bring each time more and different insights to the bodies?
Yeah, what I mean with that part is that after you have your free experience in any event you have, I believe that if you repeat the same experience, like the second time, the third time, and so on, each time will bring to you different insights about the experience itself. So as you said, in the first one, for example, with the text, you have this repetition. So at the beginning, now that I hear from you, and I hear as well from another friend, that at the beginning it was quite difficult to get into the content of the text because of the format, actually, of the PDF. However, through the repetition, then it was possible to focus as well on the content and not only on the interaction to understand what was the experience. So with the phrase that you just read, let's say if you experience again the same event that you had experienced today, then the insights that you will get through your senses, through your perception, are going to be different, are not going to be the same. And I don't know what those insights will be. Then you will have to experience yourself in order to realize which another thoughts or feelings you might have.
So would you say that maybe you can kind of see this performative act or the performance you did as some sort of a tool that you can use to communicate the research or the topics you want to talk about?
Yeah, I definitely think, actually, I think that it's quite an adequate tool or method to do it, because I think that as a participant, you are invited not just only to delve into the content, the theoretical level, but put it in practical way as well. Like while you are reading the text, you are moving your hands, you are Yeah, you are doing several movements with your body, even if they are tiny, but you are doing it. So it invites you to really delve into the experience, not only at content level. So yeah, I will say that so far, this is a very nice beginning to put the theoretical way as well as the theoretical research as well as an experience that is not only to sit down and read, but it's something that you as well live through your body. Yeah.
So maybe you can explain a little bit more. I'm using the words wrong, or I don't know. There's like I'm always referring to your project as the performance you did today, but then there also is performative design and all these different words that you use. Can you maybe explain me a little bit what the difference is? Because I didn't quite grasp, I think.
Yeah, this is a quite challenging question. Actually, it was quite difficult to point it out during the research as well, because what I found out is that we have three terms. So one is performance, the other one's performative, and the other one is performativity. So if we talk about performance, it might be more related to cultural performance. So plays, dance, concerts, music, operas, and so on. So these are more cultural performance. And I believe that what we did today is not a cultural performance. This is more about how can you, my approach, some of the strategies that performances use, but to reveal or to convey a different mindset. So besides that, performance as well as a word is just to do an action, is to perform, is to do something. So if we took from that part, we are getting close to what we did today with the text, that is to delve into action, to do something. And when we talk about performative, so performative, it is as well explored in many different fields of knowledge, but in short, performative means as well like when performative means that you, what you are saying by words is also something that you might say as well through actions. So this is based on John L. Austin, theory. This is linguistics, philosophy of linguistics studies and so on. But this was my departure point in order to understand that when we speak, we are not only speak, but the actions itself are the ones who are speaking as well. So this connects us as well to the another part of performance, that is to do an action. And in the performative part, what I highlighted is to approach this another source of knowledge production that is not only through words, but it's also as well through our bodies, to put our bodies in action. So this is the importance of this another term. And performativity is more like the word that I use to encompass all of this. Performativity might be the lenses in order to research something, or to it's a perspective in general. It's not something that you can put pointed it out. That's something very specific, but it's a perspective. So it encompassed all the framework about the performance and performative. And another thing important, that I think I consider important to say is that, as I was saying before, performance might be more broadly known as this cultural performances. However, in my research, I approach all this framework through the point of view of social studies. So this is this means that it's that I bring all these concepts and ground it to social studies, and then connect it as well like with design epistemologies. But this performative and performativity is now, at least so far, what I researched, yeah, the framework to approach or to study as well social activity and social action. How can you understand society through these lenses of performativity? Yeah, it's what I will, in yeah, maybe in other words, to understand more, this framework will allow us as a designers to study, to comprehend, to analyze our social structures through events, through behaviors, and through actions. So yeah, these are the differences between the terms. Like, they are not quite easy to point out, but yeah, so far this is the framework.
Yeah, it really helps me to understand more. Thank you. And for me, especially when you talked about this kind of cultural performances, I always think of an audience, or in terms of performance, there's always some sort of an audience. But for your performance, it was more the audience also had to engage in the performance, and it was more participants rather than a passive audience. So do you research, do you already think of the participants, or what role do they play in your work or in your performances?
Yes, actually, I would say that this is one of the most important parts of it, to find a way to convey the message that you want to show. Yeah. So yeah, definitely one of the most important things is to think how the experience will be to the participants, and how can we really engage with them? Because yeah, what did you say? It is very necessary to not do it in a passive way or just contemplate a performance, but to really enact it as well with us. Yeah.
For me, this all sounds really, really interesting in order to think about how I approach design, me as an industrial designer, and how other like design-based people could maybe use this for their work. Do you always want to address designers especially with your performance, or is it for everybody?
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to really address everyone. Actually, the few experiences that I have had so far, I have always like been interested to invite all my friends and even my family and so on. I mean, lawyers, psychologists, biologists, different fields, you know, people that have a very different background from design, and to receive always her perspective and their feedback about what was the insights that they receive. So actually, yes, from one part, then is the designer, the designers group, which of course it's very important, because then the methodological framework can start to be more alive, and then yeah, it's a way to experience there as a designers how this works and what it's the meaning of that. And yeah, however, in general, I will say that it's for what we designed with this framework is with the purpose to address all kind of audience. Yeah.
And I don't know how it was for you today doing this performance, but especially when you say that the active participation of people is such a key role in your work, how was it to do it via like an online call conference and not being in the same room? Do you think it worked the same as it would work in a room being all together, or is it maybe even better to have all the people online, or how was your experience with that?
Wow, that's quite difficult. I mean, in general, I will prefer that do it in physical, in a physical place, and do it being with people face to face. Definitely, it's different. Like, the atmosphere of the experience will be different, and I have experienced that as well. People might engage more when you are in the same place with them, because yeah, through these digital means, it's very easy to say, "Oh no, I don't want to participate," and I will just be passive audience, so to say. Yeah. So yeah, definitely it has. I mean, if this is what we have to do now to just address everything by digital means, then I will say that I personally have many challenges as well to address it in order to get people engaged with the activity. Because this is, yeah, sometimes, of course, it depends from the cultural background of each one and the audience that you are addressing, but you will find anyway people who don't want to, yeah, just decided to not participate and just to be an observer, or the ones who are more able to and willing to get into it. Yeah, so
I asked this question how it was for you, because I thought in advance that it maybe not be that easy to bring the people to engage into and be an active part in this Zoom call. But I was quite surprised, and I thought it worked really well. And it got me thinking, like, if that maybe isn't even necessary to be in. I mean, if, of course, it would be nice to be in the same room, but this opens up a lot more possibilities on other fields, such as when you say that you want to talk to or address everybody, and maybe even bringing people from their different perspectives in different parts of the world, sharing these experiences. I think it could be quite interesting, or it was quite interesting, and it worked so well. So yeah, I just wanted to say that as well, that I really was surprised how the people still engaged.
Yeah, thank you. We were lucky to count with an audience very active today.
When you do such a project, how do you start? You always start with research, and you search for something you want to address, like a social construct that you are working or researching on anyways, and then you develop this performance. Or do you have like an event, for example, the Bauhaus Study Rooms, and then you think, what could we do there? And how is your process in developing such performances?
Okay, I think that I cannot use today's activity in order to answer your question, because this was very much related, of course, and connected with Vivian's practice. So, of course, she has done her fieldwork and the research about this social reality that we wanted to convey today. However, in my design practice, the process that I usually do is to start with fieldwork, with research. So first of all, like to select, even if you are thinking in a very specific territory, then select the community that you want to address, of the ones who you want to work with. So this is very much close to what you, the fieldwork that social sciences does, for example. That's my background in industrial design, was very strong in this part. So each project will start always with fieldwork, to start to exploring a territory, a community, and start to identify what are their social, cultural, political, and economical aspects. And upon what the research, upon the outcomes of the research, then you as a designer might address A or B, and then start to work very much with the people, like in a very collaborative way. Like here's when I think that the designer comes, and as many design discourses say already, the designer comes the mediator or the facilitator of the design process, because actually the knowledge that you as a designer has, it's not only your own knowledge, the input of the design process, but moreover the knowledge of the people who you are working with. So I personally think that it's very, very important to, if you are designed for someone else or to address another social reality, it's very important for me to always take into account the perspectives of this other reality, like, and not to blind myself just with my own perspective. Yeah, I will say that this is the start point. And then I think that everything comes together at the same time for me, at least. It's not a linear process. Design is something that if I start with the fieldwork, then I realize about an opportunity maybe, or a problem that I want to address, But then I have to do more fieldwork in this specific part that I found. And then it's like, yeah, it's a circular process. It's just a converging and it's a divergent and converging process. Yeah. So, yeah, I will say that. And of course, there is a final part where you decide, of course, this will be the outcome. And nevertheless, I think that the outcome, it doesn't have to be like an static outcome as well in design. Like if I design an experience or a service or even if I design objects, I don't think that they might be static. They must change during the time. So for example, the experience of that we have today with the text specifically, this text will change in time. I don't consider that this has to be static. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really interesting. It's like to think more like, especially for you coming from the industrial design field and then where it's maybe really product design oriented and now coming to this design research and performative design that you now, work in such different field that the output changes so much and the output is more the experience you give people or the experience people make through your work, through your research, but also through the experience they have during the performance. It's really, really interesting. And I hope we can have much more of those types of designs in the future. I also wanted to ask if you document your work or how do you, like as an outcome, there is this experience, but in order to kind of archive it for yourself or to refer to it later on a later point, do you document your work?
Yeah, sure. This is a very important part. Actually, I think that all the documentation that you have in design process is actually the most important to reveal as an outcome actually itself. So of course, I think that each project will have different methodologies and different ways to be documented. But in general, I will say that, yeah, throughout all the projects that I have done so far, there is one thing that I always do. Yeah, it's like a personal diary. During my bachelor's in industrial design, this was a constant in each project. So each year or each semester, I will have one personal diary. We call it, bitácora in Spanish. So in this diary, you will draw, you will make some sketches, you will write, you will do whatever you want. You will put some photographs or whatever you want during the process of the project. So at the end, you will have all the phases, the stages of the process. You will have them documented in this diary. But this is, of course, a personal process as well. You know, but as a designer, I have realized that this is one of the most valuable things, at least for me. Like here, I can go back to these diaries and realize about many, many, many information and many things that I missed or that I missed at one point or that I or that makes me to think in another things afterwards. And yeah, I will say that this is one of the things that I usually use to document all of my projects. Yeah.
And do you also share them or is it just your personal documentation?
So far it's my personal documentation. Yeah, but of course I have been thinking as well, like how can I show it because of course it's like when you are by your own, you know, writing and thinking, and we designers use a lot of diagrams and mind maps, and sometimes you use post-its and this stuff or colors or no colors whatsoever. So, of course, it's a very personal process and it's not like a finished outcome or a clean outcome. You will have all messy notes there, but But actually, this is very interesting as well, like for me to realize this way of thinking, how we see develop it within the design practice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. You get me thinking there a lot about my approach to documentation, and I have a lot to think about now. And I think the listeners as well maybe got a quite good insight in your work and in the performance you and Vivian did today at the Bauhaus Study Rooms. So thank you very much, Ida, for talking to me about your work. And it was really interesting to get to know you and to get to know your approach to design research. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raya. Thank you for the invitation. It was very nice to be here with you and to talk more about this.
Cool. I think that's a wrap.
BurgstudentInnen treffen auf spannende Persönlichkeiten im Rahmen der Bauhaus Study Rooms Dessau.
Borg Students Podcast Edition.
Bauhaus Study Rooms.
Today with Bauhaus Study Rooms.